welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Steelers Nation, we wake up this morning with a new quarterback running the show, even if it's not official. Mitchell Money Trubisky is on his way to the Pittsburgh Steelers, intended to sign on Wednesday for a two-year, $14 million deal, upwards of $27 million if he becomes the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Donnie, I've been all smiles for about 24 hours now. I'm feeling beautiful. I got my Mitchell Trubisky jersey on the way. I was going to go get it today, but we had to move the podcast up. It's a beautiful sunny day here in the Berg. How you feeling, my friend?
And I've tried really hard, and I mean really hard, to remain rational, to look at both sides of the coin. And it's hard. It's very hard. I would love to get into the pros and cons with you of signing Mitchell Trubisky. I'm not happy, nor should anybody be happy.
I'm thrilled.
It's 7 o'clock right now on the West Coast. Life is terrible. I wish I had a time machine to go back in time and not wake up this morning, but here we are. The only thing saving me is I still have my signed TJ Watt jersey. Only thing saving me, which
just
may
sitting on your lap,
which may potentially be a giveaway in the future for all Steelers if we hit like 40,000 subscribers in the next week.
Do you have the TJ Watt jersey just sitting on your lap, hoping?
No, I'm located in the closet right now. The wifey's working, so I was relegated to the bedroom.
Wife's working at 7 a.m., huh? That's a hard worker there. Let me tell you hey, how my day's been. You're feeling a little down. You're feeling a little sad. I've been pushing the Mitchell Steelbitsky train here for a whole week, maybe more than a week, saying this guy has all the upside that the Steelers need right now. He has
for what?
All the intangibles that the Steelers want in a bridge quarterback. He's not Mason Rudolph, and he's going to be cheap. You want to know what all the arguments were against me? He's not good enough. He's another Mason Rudolph. He's going to be expensive. Let's go over what happened here. Mitchell Steelbitsky signed a two-year contract worth $14 million. Easy peasy money if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got $27 million walking into free agency. You're thinking, okay, we need a guy who could compete with Mason Rudolph, might be a little better than Mason Rudolph, but can't be Mason Rudolph, and he can't be expensive. 2 years, $14 million. Then you're thinking, okay, well, if I'm Mitchell Trubisky, I want a starting job somewhere, at least an opportunity to be starting quarterback again in the NFL. I was once a playoff quarterback 2 years in a row. I was a Pro Bowler less than 5 years ago. I'm only 27 years old. So you're going, okay, we'll give you some incentives. You become the next starting future quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can make $27 million over the next 2 years. Still a easy peasy steal for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now he walks into the summer. You don't have to worry about a quarterback in the first round. You don't have to worry about making a stretch in a loaded draft class to go get somebody like Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral, which you have no idea if they're going to pan out. You got Mitchell Steelbitsky. There are some concerns Deshaun Watson's going to end up in Cleveland, but the Pittsburgh Steelers woke up this morning with a much better quarterback situation than they went to bed two nights ago, and I'm feeling fantastic about it. I can't read any of these comments, so.
Much better. Transition. Very subjective, I feel like. But I would agree with you that the Steelers feel like they improved the quarterback room, and to a certain extent, I probably do agree. I'd love to get into the other quarterback talk. Joey Jr., from your lips to God's ears, brother. I'd love to get into the other quarterback talk with you a little bit down the road, but I do kind of want to stay on the Trubisky train right now. His cap hit's only, what, like $4 million this year? And then it's expected to, like, increase next year. when the cap is expected to like skyrocket. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that. I think financially, that was probably the best way to go about it. When you look at other contracts that the Steelers would have had to incur at the quarterback position, when you look at rumors of them potentially going to get Jimmy Garoppolo, when you look at the mega Deshaun Watson deal, and then obviously, you know, guys like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, all the other quarterbacks who would have came with a heavy price tag. I think it was very apparent from the start that the Steelers were not looking to spend big money at the quarterback position, knowing that none of the guys on the roster right now, or none of the guys they felt like they could afford, were going to be the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback position. Now, that being said, I'm still not a fan of the Trubisky signing, but I do want to look at some positives for it. Number one, you got the guy on the cheap deal. Number two, he's still relatively young, and we have to remember he was a former number two overall pick. He's obviously coming here to be a starter, right? I mean, there's no way they're signing him to that deal for him to sit behind Mason Rudolph. But you know what? If Mason Rudolph somehow beats him, and you know, if Rudolph is pushed by the presence of Trubisky, unlike he was like the presence of Haskins, then you know, maybe the $4 million price tag is worth it. And I'm sure the Steelers somehow, some way, can get out of the deal after the 2022 season. He has an athletic profile. You know, everybody still really likes that about him. But I think the thing that people still really clamor about with Trubisky is that they still feel like there's untapped potential there for him. And I think that's really where the two sides, aka me and you, like completely go their separate ways. And I have no confidence that Trubisky is anything worth, you know, a starting quarterback spot in the NFL. You, on the other hand, seem to think that, you know, there's going to be a statue of him built right outside of Heinz Field, right next to Mr. Rooney, and probably Big Ben Roethlisberger. Nah, bro, you were on your way to pick up his jersey today. Come on.
Okay, so I have expectations for Mitch Trubisky, maybe higher than most. But realistically, and I'm glad I put the normal glasses on for this because, you know, I'm not Money Mitch right now. I'm just good old reasonable Noah.
Money Noah.
Yep. Money Noah. I have expectations for Mitchell Trubisky. I think that there is potential for him to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I look at guys. Carson Wentz is not a good quarterback. Teams would take him and think maybe this guy could lead us to a Super Bowl if we build everything around him. Jimmy Garoppolo, terrible quarterback. Teams hand him $28 million and say, yeah, well, maybe he could lead us to a quarterback. He has led teams or a team to the quarterback. There are a bunch of guys like that. Tyler Heinicke, did I say that last name right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Started for the Washington football team last season, had no business being a starting quarterback in the NFL. Baker Mayfield is a terrible quarterback. He was the first overall pick. Look, I don't expect Mitchell Trubisky to be a star. I don't expect Mitchell Trubisky to be the next, you know, Ben Roethlisberger or fill Big Ben's shoes or anything. I think that right now the Pittsburgh Steelers' best option going into this season is to have a quality bridge quarterback. And at no point throughout Mason Rudolph's career have I ever looked at him and said, that guy is a bridge quarterback. Never. He'd lead you to 4-5 wins max. I think Trubisky, with a good team around him, might lead you to 10-11 wins. That's might not win you a Super Bowl, but he keeps the hope alive at least. And that's exactly what the Pittsburgh Steelers are looking for. It also removes some pressure because I think that before Trubisky, the Steelers looked at this offseason and they said, if we don't get a quarterback in free agency, a decent one, we have to use a high draft pick on a quarterback. Yeah. Have to. Now I think they're just looking at it just like, well, Trubisky's got more potential than Rudolph, so at least it gives us a year.
Do you think people, and I'm not talking about you, do you think other people in Pittsburgh are excited for Trubisky because, one, he's not Mason Rudolph, and two, we haven't really seen him play in a year, and there's that kind of prospect of, oh, hey, he sat behind Josh Allen. You know, he went to the Bills. The Bills had nothing but good things to say about him. Do you think people are kind of like prisoners to, oh, this guy is not Mason Rudolph, therefore he's going to be, you know, a really good quarterback for us?
Yeah, I do think people are prisoner to that. Now, at the same time, I'm not taking anything that the Bills say at all. Like, any team's going to hype up their backup quarterback. The Pittsburgh Steelers hype up Mason Rudolph. And the Pittsburgh Steelers hyped up Dwayne Haskins. Ben Roethlisberger was sitting around going, that guy's got potential. No, he does not. Mason Rudolph has a clear lead above Dwayne Haskins, and that says as much as anybody needs to hear. That being said, I think that at one point in his career, Trubisky showed a lot of potential to be a middle ground quarterback, which for half the teams in the NFL, that's all you could get. You're not going to always get a Ben Roethlisberger. I also think that the Matt Nagy effect is real. I think that a bad coach can ruin a quarterback. It depends on how bad he ruined him. I think that there is potential that he is ruined for his whole career and that he never gets any better. But I also think that with a guy like Mike Tomlin and Danny Sullivan, maybe there's potential that he grows a little bit. Maybe. It's a maybe.
I am 100% with you on the whole Matt Nagy thing, but you have to remember the kind of offense that Trubisky is walking into in Pittsburgh and who is running that offense in Pittsburgh. Matt Canada, we were in Mobile, and we heard from multiple people in the league that were shocked, flabbergasted, bamboozled even, that Matt Canada was still on a payroll for an NFL team, which says a lot about Matt Canada, and not in a good way. So that doesn't necessarily give me hope for Trubisky. I think at this point, it is what it is. And I feel like the Steelers kind of look at it like that as well. Like, they knew they weren't going to swing for defenses. But they also knew that, you know, whether or not they liked it, the two rookie quarterbacks they probably would have liked the draft may not have been there for them at 20. I don't think they were looking to kind of give up the draft capital and move up. Trubisky, I mean, it is what it is. I've slandered the dude for a very, very long time. But, you know, the reality is that he's in Pittsburgh. And, you know, I said the same thing for Mason Rudolph. So I'm going to say the same thing for Mitch Trubisky. I mean, if that dude trots out on the field for week one, you got to root for him. You know, you if you're a rational Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you do not want that guy to do bad. Like, it makes no sense to root for the guy, especially playing quarterback of all positions. You need that guy to do pretty okay. So you know what? Trubisky, if he's the guy, which, I mean, he very much should be with the price tag that he's coming with and all the expectations that he has, go for it.
Steel Bitsky's here to stay, baby. Now, let me address a couple of things here before we dive a little deeper into the Steelers quarterback situations, other offseason signings. One, the Matt Canada thing. I also think that this is a perfect situation for Matt Canada. A lot of people are like, oh, you're telling me that Matt Canada is going to teach Mitchell Trubisky better than Matt Nagy did, blah, blah, blah. No, not at all. But what I am saying is that we all can agree that Matt Canada is a terrible offensive coordinator, doesn't have any business being on the Pittsburgh Steelers coaching staff. So if he's going to get fired, you might as well let him get fired with Mitchell Trubisky instead of ruining a year or two with a brand new quarterback that you actually have high hopes for. Or you get stuck in another situation where Deshaun Watson is here, Jimmy Garoppolo is here, Carson Wentz is here, Malik Willis is here, Kenny Pickett is here, and they're good enough to make this team a contender, and you're Randy Fichtner for the next 10 years. That's what they're looking at. I think Mitchell Trubisky puts Matt Canada right in the hot seat and says, hey, you could either earn your money or you could show us that you don't belong in the NFL. It's up to you. And I think that, you know, that's another perfect bridge to the Steelers need to cleanse it, and they need to see what they need to cleanse. Matt Canada's right at the top of that list. Don't ruin a quarterback on him. Don't get stuck with him. Let Mitchell see what he can do. See what he can do.
Now, when it comes to other quarterback situations, and sorry if I'm jumping the gun here, there was a lot of steam for Watson to Pittsburgh, but I mean, it really looked like that steam came from Watson's camp more so than the Steelers side of thing, which is very odd that Deshaun wanted to go to Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh did not want Deshaun to go to Pittsburgh. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because I thought that was very strange. Me being the kind of person to almost will that into existence the last couple of weeks on the podcast. I was just kind of taken back by that. But, like, I get it, especially with, like, everything going on with him. Maybe the Steelers didn't want that all over again. Maybe, you know, they felt like they would rather roll the dice on a feature quarterback in the upcoming NFL drafts rather than go and get Deshaun Watson, who, like, he is 26. I get it. And, like, they just signed a 26 Mitch Trubisky. But that was too a small two-year deal. I mean, the financials on his deal are peanuts compared to a guy like Deshaun Watson. I mean, were the Steelers ever really going to sign Watson? Were they ever really interested in drafting Willis or Pickett? I mean, like, it feels like everything that we've been talking about the last months has just kind of crumbled with the news of Mitchell Trubisky and them being signed. I guess my ultimate question is, do you think quarterback's out of play for the Steelers early in the draft?
I personally do. But I've been pushing that for a long time now. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I've said this many times before, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers' plan of attack is sign Mitchell Trubisky or a guy like Mitchell Trubisky, head into the draft with three guys that you don't feel really good about but don't feel real bad about, and then you don't have to waste an early draft pick on a quarterback. That being said, they will likely use, I would say, one of their top three picks on a quarterback. Maybe it's a Desmond Ridder. Maybe it's a Sam Howell. I would say those two might be their top option. A lot of other people are saying this is pushing the envelope for them to go and get Malik Willis, especially if a team like Carolina lands Deshaun Watson. I don't think it makes any sense. I don't, like, people are saying, oh, well, now you don't have to worry about Mitchell Trubisky or about Malik Willis starting because he could sit behind Mitchell Trubisky and there's not really that much pressure. If that was the thought, force them behind Mason Rudolph. Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert and Art Rooney can care less if the fans are booing on Sundays. All they care about is winning and developing a team for now and the future. Mitchell Trubisky, I think, is more of like a, maybe this could work out. We fully understand that this draft class is not very good when it comes to the quarterback position. We might as well just hold off for at least another year or deeper into the draft. And then next year, if the quarterback situation is Mitchell Trubisky, a guy like Desmond Ridder, and then your first round quarterback, I mean, that's a much, much better situation to be in if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that Kevin Colbert said that he didn't want to leave the Steelers without their next franchise quarterback. Yeah. Trubisky is not their next franchise quarterback, so I'm still really interested to see how draft night plays out, or even the first couple of days of the draft for a variety of reasons, I suppose. It's just, I said this about the quarterback room whenever it was just Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins, and now you add Trubisky into the mix. So, like I alluded to earlier, former number two overall pick. If these guys were really as good as people made them out to be, they wouldn't be in Pittsburgh right now. Dwayne Haskins would still be with the Washington Commanders. Big Ben would have retired 3 or 2 years ago if Mason Rudolph was as good as everybody said he was. And Trubisky would still be the guy in Chicago if he was everything that people wanted him to be. I still don't think the Steelers quarterback room is all that in a bag of chips, you know, especially for the next upcoming years. I think a rookie quarterback thrown into the mix maybe changes that, maybe not. I don't really know. It all depends on who you grab. But, I mean, it looks like they're going to try to do what the smart thing is, and that's, you know, try to, you know, predicate their offense on, you know, establishing a strong running attack with Najee Harris, play really, really good defense, and, you know, you're going to roll the dice with that, and we'll see if it comes up in your favor.
So that's a point everybody keeps talking about. I'm glad that you addressed it. The Steelers' plan of attack right now seems to be, we're running the football as much as humanly possible. We need a lights-out defense. They have done nothing to better either of those positions or either of those plans or attack. It's still Najee Harris and a group of misfits behind him that cannot contribute in a football game. The offensive line, I mean, we'll touch on Mason Cole and Chuk signing. The defense, Akello Witherspoon was reportedly set to be re-signed. Still haven't heard anything there. Terrell Edmonds is about to hit free agency. He's ready to go. There's not been an inside linebacker signing. We still have no idea what's going on with Stephon Tuitt. And Arthur Millett Marcus Allen and Robert Splaine are the only three guys so far to be getting any deals with the Steelers. So
didn't Akello resign?
No, Akello is supposed to resign. No word of it yet. Yeah. So right now it just looks like the defense is getting worse. The offensive line looks pretty much the same as it did last year, and they haven't added a running back. So I get it's only day one, but I think that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you feel differently here, but the Steelers have a plan of attack, and they are not. Either the plan of attack is in all of our heads, just like the Deshaun Watson thing, just like the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, just like anything we've talked about this offseason, or they are just terribly executing this, and it's 100% on them.
Can it be both?
I think it could be both.
Can they be executing a plan that's just terrible, but they're still going with the plan? And, dude, we have to remember, like, when the Steelers ever gone out on the first day of free agency and made a couple splash signings? Like, I honestly think the Trubisky signing might be the biggest, like, day one signing that they've had in quite a long time. Considering the position, considering who just retired, like, the Steelers historically have never been that team to just get a completely new roster on the first day of legal tampering. It's just not them. You know, like, these things take time. It's not a race. You know, the team who signs the most amount of free agents on day one is not guaranteed a spot in the Super Bowl. You know, and this is a process that takes weeks, sometimes even months, depending on, you know, how long it goes into the NFL draft or even after it. I just give it time. That being said, last year's offseason gave me absolutely no hope for this team to do anything smart. And right now, I mean, like I said, it's still early, but just kind of looking at how things might play out, we're looking at another not great offseason. And, you know, for a team that feels like they could probably squeeze another Super Bowl run, or at least try to, out of the current pieces that they have, it's not looking good.
No, it's not looking good. And that's a great transition here, because we got two offensive linemen to talk about, a couple of defenders, maybe Stephon Gilmore coming to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We got to touch on that. But first, a little message from our boys over at Manscaped. Splish splash, I was taking a bath, and I noticed I have beautiful balls. Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist hygiene, are turning men's shower dreams into their favorite routine with the all-new Ultra Premium Collection. The all-in-one hygiene skin and hair bundle is designed to upgrade the everyday man's shower routine from head to toe. Your skin, hair, and balls deserve this. Save big by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS. Donnie, we're still waiting on our package. I'm very excited about it, but good things are coming. Let me tell you how to take a shower, my friend. Step one. Lather on the cologne-infused ultra-premium body wash with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean and moisturized all day. Not sure if you heard that correctly, but this body wash is cologne-infused, so that special someone in your life will absolutely love it. Step two, it's hair care time. Apply the two-in-one shampoo and conditioner that cleanses and nourishes in one step. The non-greasy formula has a base of coconut water, green tea, and allotermic and sage. Apply this to your armpits and pubic regions too. Step three, once you hop out of the shower, protect yourself from body odor by applying the Manscaped aluminum-free deodorant. This deodorant dries clear and is also cologne infused. Step four, have tattoos? I got plenty. Let's hit your skin with the hydrating body moisturizer spray. Step five, apply the Manscaped lip balm. This is a free gift when you purchase the Ultra Premium Collection. And last but not least, we're using the Lawnmower 4.0 electric trimmer to clean off any unwanted body hair. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof, so you bet it's a major key to the new shower routine. This elite trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. Although your balls might look like some punching bags, don't treat them like one and benefit from their proprietary skin-safe technology. This new bundle will change your life, and all I want is for my listeners out there to have the best life. We all know that. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS at manscaped.com. It's time to get wet and clean with your new Manscaped shower routine.
All right, Donnie. Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Steelers freak. Love you. Appreciate you. Chukwuma Okorafor. Mason Cole. Now solidified on the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line. Both of them got deals yesterday. Nothing huge. Nothing groundbreaking. I think actually a little underwhelming for some people. No, newsworthy. Okay. But nothing earth-shattering. Ryan Jensen would have been earth-shattering, you know? Lincoln Thompson would have been earth-shattering.
That's what I'm saying. As soon as Tom Brady went back, dude, I was punching here because I knew damn well what was going to happen with Ryan Jensen. Such a shame. Yeah. Such a shame.
Tom Brady, look it. He let Ben Roethlisberger be the headline of his Hall of Fame class. I appreciate him for that. But Aaron Rodgers has got to be upset. Every Steelers fan in the world was just such a tease. Like, it's just such a tease. There's no reason to do that to any of us, and yet here we are.
Yep.
But back to the offensive line. We'll start with Chukes. 3 years, $29.25 million. Seems like a big deal. I think what helps a lot is that it's very back-end heavy. So the first year is a $4 million cap hit for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. We don't know the exact details, but it could be assumed that if he doesn't turn out to be a starter, he's probably gone after year one. That being said, do you feel that they put a lot of money into a guy like Chukes when they could have put a lot of money into a guy somewhere else and maybe had a little bit more potential or maybe a little bit higher of a floor to start with when they rebuilt their offensive line?
See, I've gone back and forth on this because, I mean, if we were talking about Chukes getting, what, $6 to $7 million per year, that extra $3 million over the course of time, yeah, you know, that would have added up to something. But I mean, like, just really quick for you, do you feel like we're kind of like splitting hairs here between like seven or like just under $10 million, like on a, like an average salary basis? Because I kind of feel like we do. And like, don't get me wrong, like almost $10 million per year for a guy like Chukes. Pretty large. I was not expecting that contract at all because that's like right around top 10 right tackle money. I like Derek pointed out on Twitter. And obviously Chukes, in my opinion, has not played like a top 10 right tackle in the National Football League. And yeah, I do agree that the Steelers probably could have used that money if they were going to sink into the right tackle position to go and find someone else that would have offered them a little bit more potential. But it's the Steelers. They love the guys they are super familiar with. They already know what to expect out of Matt Canada's offensive scheme heading into year two. You know, they've seen him, you know, up close and personal. You know, they apparently really liked what they saw to pay him that kind of money. And, you know, you're now not stuck with Zach Banner at right tackle. Miley, do you think Banner gets released?
No, I don't think that. I mean, maybe. But I think that he at least has an opportunity to show something in minicamp and maybe in training camp, and then maybe they move on from him. It's like a Joe Schobert situation.
Here's my thing with that. Dan Moore Jr. is your left tackle. Yeah. Heading into at least 2022, he's the guy at left tackle, right? You're paying Chukes $10 million a year on an average, right? Because whatever his cap hit is this year. You're not going to sit him. Like, you are not going to have Chukes make that money and be a backup right tackle, okay? So you effectively already have your tackle positions figured out, which, by the way, I feel like was not necessarily the entire problem with the Steelers offensive line last year. I feel like it was more so the interior at both the guard spots and center. Chukes making a lot of money, and you know that's going to come with a lot of responsibility. Granted, I get it. The contract is going to be backloaded, but to your point, though, let's say he doesn't perform well. I mean, they're going to be on the books for a lot of that money the last 2 years of that contract. And what team, if they try to trade him, is going to want to take that contract the last 2 years of that deal if they were to try to move him? See, that's the downside of backloading these deals that, you know, not a lot of people kind of like figure it out. So they're really banking on Chukes to take a step forward this year.
Yeah, I do think that, and they are going to walk into the offseason. He's going to be the starter.
There's no way that you sign Chooks to this deal and say, all right, you're going to go compete with Zach Banner for a third year in a row for the starting tackle position. I do think that there's a possibility that they switch, that Chooks moves to the left side and Dan Moore moves to the right side. I think Chooks plays a lot better on the left. Dan Moore is a right tackle. He plays like a right tackle. He's built like a right tackle. I think that he could play a lot better on the right side of the line than the left side of the line. And I think the same goes for Chooks. I think Chooks is super athletic and can be a left tackle. Doesn't really do much in the run game. The Steelers obviously want to run the ball to a guy like Kendrick Green, who might be playing right guard now, to a side with Dan Moore Jr. on it. So we just got a comment. Deshaun to the Browns. Oh, okay. I don't think that was legit yet. Scared me for a second there.
I haven't seen it.
So I think that they could switch. The back end of the deal, I think we still have to wait for the details on that, because I want to know how much is guaranteed after the first year. What's the cap? What's the dead money? You know, if the Steelers decide after this season Chooks stinks and he's got to go, how much are you losing if you just cut him? Because maybe it's nothing. You know what I mean? Maybe it's like $1 million and that's not really a huge loss. I think that there is upside. Like you said, the tackles were the best spot of the Steelers offensive line in 2021. And I think Chooks was the best offensive lineman in 2021. Now it was an awful offensive line. So, you know, if the bar's here, Chooks is here. It's not very big.
Do you think that helped him get paid? The fact that he was like the best on an otherwise not great offensive line. Cause like, let's say like the Steelers still had a really solid offensive line, and like Chooks was like on the border of either being brought back or it's just, you know, being sent out to the waters of free agency. Do you think he gets that deal if like the rest of the offensive line is solidified? Cause I don't.
No.
I don't think he's getting a 3-year, 29 point, whatever $1 million contract.
No, but I also, that's a good thing. So I think that he doesn't, but I think that the Steelers draft a tackle if Chooks is the worst part of the offensive line last year. You know what I mean? Like, I think that now they just focus there, where now they're thinking, okay, yeah, we signed Mason Cole. Kendrick Green is still possibly our starting center or guard. Kevin Dotson, we have some hope in. Dan Moore Jr., we need somebody to be the guy. Chooks and Dan Moore Jr., we'll pick those two to be the guys, and then we can attack the interior.
That's still not exciting for me. Like, that's still not a good
thing. Not at all.
Yeah.
No, it's a terrible move. But they started at ground zero, and I just don't think that they're working their way up quick enough. Which, let's get into Mason Cole here. 3-year deal, $15.75 million. Some people are saying he's going to play right guard. Some people are saying he's going to play center. Comes from Arizona. I mean, he spent a year in Minnesota. He started 7 games, played decently well. I've heard it all over Twitter. People in Arizona saying Mason Cole's garbage. He is not a good interior lineman. I don't know how much knowledge you have on him, but what are the Steelers fans expecting here from Mason Cole?
Yeah, Cole did not exactly garner rave reviews during his time here in Arizona. He did mostly play at the center position whenever he was here playing with the Cardinals. And then he went over to the Vikings and he did play mostly at right guard. And I think it was Tyler Wise on Steelers Twitter that had put together a thread just of like a couple plays that Mason Cole had against the Steelers, funny enough, to where he did play fairly well at the right guard position. And I think at worst, this gives you a like a versatility move inside the interior, which surprise, you know, the Steelers love to go and grab a guy like that. I think Cole is capable of playing center. He's also capable of playing right guard, which is something that will greatly hinge on the talents of Kendrick Green and whether or not the Steelers are actually comfortable with him moving forward. I think Mason Cole and Kendrick Green are going to end up starters. And it's just a matter of where the Steelers want Green at. Because if the Steelers think Green can still be a center in 2022, then that's where he'll be. And then Cole will be at right guard. But obviously, you know, Green, if he's not exactly getting rave reviews for a second year in a row, I think he'll be more than happy to switch in the right guard and have Mason Cole play at center.
Do you think that this has any potential? Because at first, where he's here for the next 3 or 4 years, he gets paid okay, and he's just the guy that's super reliable to step in anywhere. Because, say, the Steelers draft an interior offensive lineman in the draft. Kendrick Green is still their center, and Kevin Dotson's their other starting guard. say that happens. Kevin Dotson is an injury machine. The dude is super unreliable. Kendrick Green dealt with injuries last year, and we don't know what a rookie's going to bring. You need a swing guard. Nobody wants – J.C. Hassenauer is a free agent. John LeGlue is a free agent. None of these guys are coming back so far. Do you think it has potential to be the next B.J. Finney?
Yeah, potentially. But, I mean, was a three-year, $15 million deal? I mean, for $5 million a year, I'm not exactly loving him. It's just like a utility guy. Like, if I'm going to fork over that kind of money, I would have much rather him at least get starting time on the offensive line.
I agree. And I think that the contract speaks volumes.
Yeah.
But his play does not. Like, did the offensive line improve at all yesterday?
No. No, it didn't. And you know what? Maybe we're being very short-sighted. And you know what? Maybe the Steelers saw something that, you know, not everybody, including us. Because, like, let's be real. Like, we are not scouts. We are not paid for our professional football opinions. They are obviously much better evaluators than the two of us, everybody watching and listening to this right now. So, like, I'll give them their, like, fair shake and opportunity. But, dude, like, you cannot hide on film. You cannot hide your play on film. And, like, Mason Cole's film the last couple of years has not been exactly great. Now, granted, you know, he might slide into Matt Canada's scheme, and he might play fantastic. All it takes is a change of scenery for a guy to kind of realize your potential and rise from the ground up. And maybe that's what the Steelers are banking on. Mason Cole, I don't think he's a terrible offensive lineman. I also don't think he's a $5 million a year utility guy that the Steelers would just love to move around like B.J. Finney. I mean, I was laughing whenever Matt Filer got 3 years, $21 million from the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean,
he played well, though.
He didn't play bad. He played well at tackle. He didn't play well at guard.
No, not for the Steelers. He played terrible at guard for the Steelers. Oh. He played well at guard for the Chargers last season, though. But I agree with you. I think that some guys just get big contracts. Maybe the Steelers are just thinking we need to change our direction on how we do this because they've been dealing with older veteran guys for a long time. You have to remember the last time that the Steelers built an offensive line, they did stink for a long time. You know, Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, Ramon Foster, they had the building blocks, but those building blocks were pretty garbage for like the first 3 years. And then all of a sudden it just became one of the best offensive lines in football. Mason Cole's 25 years old. So at least they're thinking, well, in 3 years, he's 28. If it works out, he's the center or the guard of the future for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if it doesn't work out, we didn't take a chance on, you know, a veteran. Because you bring in a guy like Tomlinson or Ryan Jensen or, you know, any of these guys, Eric Fisher, and for some reason they don't work out. Or another example, they do work out and they're just incredible for 2 years. You only get them for 2 years before you start thinking, we got to do this again, you know? And I think as much as people don't want to admit it, I think every move that the Pittsburgh Steelers are making is next season. It's not this season. It's we have to see what we can get and build a foundation so that we could grow the next couple of years. I think that's how they're looking at this.
Yeah, I'd love the opportunity to actually sit down and watch Mason Cole play football. Then I'd love to get back with you on maybe like Thursday's podcast and give you like an honest opinion of like what I think of the guy. From everything I've seen and just from talking to people out here in Arizona, just not exactly the guy you want starting for 17 games a year.
Yeah, it could be rough, but it's day one. NFL free agency technically didn't even start. It's the legal tampering period that started months ago. All right, let's answer some questions here before we dive into day one grades before we head out here. Who else was out there besides Mitchell Trubisky? Bridgewater went to Miami for a one-year deal. Was there a free agency signing that you liked more than Trubisky at quarterback?
No. Mainly because there wasn't really any. I mean, Bridgewater was a late contestant to the party yesterday. Other than Trubisky, I really can't think of another guy who signed because, like, Mariota didn't sign anywhere. Winston didn't sign anywhere. Garoppolo wasn't moved at all yesterday. Watson wasn't moved at all yesterday. Not a whole lot of traction at the quarterback position.
not a whole lot of traction at the quarterback position. Joe Schobert's still around. The Pittsburgh Steelers have not signed an inside linebacker through 24 hours. Bobby Wagner's still out there. Everybody and their mother wants Bobby Wagner. Do you think that the Steelers sign an inside linebacker in free agency? And if you do, no. Do you think it's noteworthy?
No, I don't think they do. And I have to double down. No, if they do sign one, I don't think it's going to be noteworthy. I think more than anything, they're going to try to find a guy through the draft, especially with Schober and how he's kind of getting up there in terms of his age. And obviously, like, you still kind of want to tie your anchor to the talents of Devin Bush. And we'll see what Brian Flores can do with that front seven, because, you know, you're hoping he can do really good things with it. But, I mean, I feel like if there's any route the Steelers are going to go, it's going to be inside linebacker through the draft. I wouldn't be surprised if they went early pick. First round would surprise me. Second round would also kind of be surprising. But, like, third round would not shock me at all.
What about if Devin Lloyd slides to them at 20?
Bro, I am, like, Jesse Owens running that shit to the podium at 20. If Devin Lloyd is somehow still available, 1,000%. Dude, I don't care who's on the board. Bro, I'm moonwalking to the podium.
I agree. I think that there's a possibility he does slide. I've not heard a lot of traction around Devin Lloyd going to a team before the Steelers. He deserves to. He's one of the best players in this draft.
Oh, he will.
But I believe so too. But until it's there, I'm gonna start putting that in.
You know whose stock is falling though? Linderbaum. Linderbaum has not been a highly coveted guy in the last couple of weeks. He's starting to slide a little bit in a lot of the mock drafts. Granted, not reality at all, but
yeah, mock drafts, reality, totally different thing. So my thought on the inside linebacker, real quick. People are forgetting about Buddy Johnson. Devin Bush is still their number one guy. So Buddy Johnson didn't do anything last season, but he didn't do anything last season. We didn't see him almost at all on defense. He played like three snaps or something. There has to be some potential there. He's a fourth round pick. Maybe that's not super high, but he is super athletic. He's got all those intangibles that you kind of like in a guy like that. Devin Bush is still going to be their number one. They're not looking to remove Devin Bush from a number one scenario yet. They used a number 10 pick on him. They're going to run him out right until the end. People said that about Terrell Edmonds and Bud Dupree. And both of them panned out in their last seasons. I think Bush has some potential to do the same. Some. He's still going to be their number one. I think Buddy Johnson determines a lot of how the Steelers view the inside linebacker position. I don't know how they feel about Buddy Johnson right now, but I would believe that they at least have enough faith in him to say we could draft a linebacker and put those three plus Robert Splaine, Marcus Allen, and Ulysses Gilbert III in the mix and hope something comes out of it. And Joe Schobert's just a backup plan. If nothing else works, Joe Schobert's still around and he's still under contract and the Steelers could keep him without really taking a hit in the cap space. If they don't want to, get rid of them, trade them for a low round pick, whatever you got to do, but they'll have options. It's not going to be a massive signing, I think, at the inside linebacker position. All right, Donnie, before we head out of here, day one grades. Let's go through them. Mitchell Trubisky, 2 years.
Wait, sorry. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Mitchell Steelbitsky, 2 years, $14 million. Incentives unknown, up to $27 million. What do you grade the Steelers signing Mitchell Steelbitsky?
C-.
Oh, C-.
C-.
What? Okay. Why?
That's a very high grade for me too. By the way, like, well, I should have given that a D+, but you know. Mitchell Trubisky, he's been slandered a whole lot. I feel bad for the kid, so you know what? I'll give him a C-. The only reason it's not a D+ is the Steelers' incentives and how that contract works out. He's basically only getting that $27 million if he's like an All-Pro, and if the Steelers make the playoffs and go on to win the Super Bowl. Like, there's a bunch of incentive-based, what's the right word for it? Like bonuses. Tied up into that contract, which it is smart for a guy like Trubisky, and just is smart for a quarterback in general. I don't think Trubisky is a good quarterback, and I think a lot of people in Pittsburgh are about to find that out. And so, yeah, I'm going to give him a C minus.
All right, I'm going to give it a B. A B. We'll go with B. And I think that that drops significantly if Deshaun Watson ends up in Cleveland, but I'll go with a B. I think that you right now are walking into the NFL draft with at least two guys that at some point you have trusted to be a starting quarterback for your football team in Mitchell Trubisky and Mason Rudolph. Their pay this season is $9 million. At one point, the Steelers were talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and his $28 million cap hit. So if you could get two guys that are probably just as good as Jimmy Garoppolo for $9 million, in my opinion, that's some sort of a win. The AFC North is stacked. The AFC in general is stacked. And it's a bad time to have a bad quarterback. You can't do anything about that unless you're going to go out and get Deshaun Watson, which the Steelers don't have any interest in. So I think it works out for what they have right now. I'm going to go with a B. Chukwu Okorafor. We'll go back to normal now out here. Chukwu Okorafor. C. 3 years, $29.25 million, $4 million cap hit.
That's still a lot of money to give him. And like you said, like I still need to see the guaranteed money and what they're going to be on the hook for the last 2 years of that contract. He was, like you said, he was the best part of the Steelers offensive line last year. Was his deal a microcosm of him being on a bad offensive line? Is he really a top 10 caliber starting right tackle in the National Football League? No, he is not. Perhaps if the Steelers are able to get a guy like a Mason Gold to improve, if they're able to get another guy within the interior to improve, then I do think you see Chukes take, you know, the next level. And I think it's extremely hard, and maybe I'm being a little bit unfair to Chukes, because if you're an offensive lineman and you are stuck on a bad offensive line, it is going to be extremely hard for you to look good. Extremely hard on you, because like the front five, they move as a unit. They're supposed to block as a unit, both in passing and rushing situations. If four of the other guys are bad, you're going to have to look like Joe Thomas out there in order for you to really, really look like you deserve $10 million per year. Chukwu didn't look like Joe Thomas, but you know what? Maybe the Steelers are making on both him and the rest of it off the line improving next year. I'm still in wait and see mode with that, so I'm going to give him a C.
All right, a C is a good grade. I'm going to go with a B minus, I think. I don't like the back end of the deal. I just don't think Chukes is a starter right now. That being said, just like you said, he was the best player on the line, on a bad offensive line last season. So it's okay to bring him back. I do like how year one is only a $4 million cap hit. It means that if it doesn't work out, you leave. I need to know more about the deal and how that money works in the dead space or the dead money before I say it's any higher. The Steelers need to improve. They need to improve a lot. I think this next signing is where things could go very wrong. Mason Cole, 3 years, $15.75 million.
C minus. It'll improve to like a C plus if like we get the training camp and like he's going to be a starter, which I do anticipate him being a starter at this moment in time, more on anything that happens in a draft. Out of all the options for you to go and get, especially in the interior offensive line, especially for any offensive lineman at all, for you to kind of like sink your money and your trust in a guy like Mason Cole, who does not have the track record you want in a starting offensive lineman. Now, granted, and I will have to go back and really look at how he played last year, because like you said, he didn't start seven games for the Vikings, which is something. I mean, but like they were able to run the football extremely well with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison in that offense as well. So maybe that's the kind of things to come for the Steelers. I don't have any confidence in anybody across the offensive line right now. And you know what? If I'm using the same logic for Chukes, I got to use the same logic for Mason Cole, who hasn't even stepped foot and played with the rest of the four guys on the Steelers offensive line. So it's a C for me. I mean, wait and see, but I'm not holding my breath on anything.
I'm going to go lower than that. I don't want to give a D grade to anybody. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with a C minus. I just think that they're he's 25 years old. If the Steelers see something and they're saying, hey, we can build for the future, that's good, and the signing goes up. Right now, there's too many question marks. I don't know how I feel about him starting at right guard. The Steelers need to use one of their first two picks in the NFL draft to draft an interior offensive lineman. And I think that for some reason that gives them an excuse not to do it. And it worries me. It very much scares me. If he plays center, is Kendrick Green now a guard? I think Kendrick Green's way too small to play guard in the NFL. I also think that that's another excuse for them to say, let's not draft an interior offensive lineman early in the draft. I think it's way too safe of a signing. I think there's zero clarity on it at all. And it's $11 million in the first 2 years, which means that you're invested in this guy one way or another. And he was a guy nobody knows anything about. So that scares me. In a loaded free agency class, in an absolutely loaded NFL draft class, you're going to pick a guy that nobody knows about and say, go ahead and do something. Reminds me a lot of them drafting Kendrick Green and drafting Dan Moore Jr. and saying, these guys are going to fix our offensive line.
Yep.
C minus, upside of a B, maybe downside of a complete F. The other guys real quick, tendering Marcus Allen, Robert Spillane, signing Arthur Millett to a 2-year deal. Good moves, good additions to keep around.
Sure. I mean,
Arthur Millett is 2 years, $4 million.
Good for them for sticking around another year or two, like you had pointed to. Marcus Allen, I thought, played fairly well at inside linebacker. I do think he kind of fits that mold a little bit better than safety. We'll see what they do with him now that Terrell Edmonds is possibly gone. So that will be something interesting to watch if they don't go out and get somebody to replace Edmonds. Millett is just like a very whatever guy for me. Like he's there. You know, like KG Beats alluded to it in his comment. I mean, it's just kind of whatever. It doesn't really move the needle for me one way or another. It was Millett. It was Spillane. Yeah, Spillane. Spillane is always going to have my respect for being the only man in NFL history to stop Derrick Henry dead in his tracks in the middle of Broadway at the goal line. Like that man can never do anything ever again, and I am A-okay with it because he's forever earned my respect for that. I think he's fine as a run-stopping linebacker. I really, really do. It's like a couple years ago, whenever the Steelers went and got John Bostic. John Bostic was phenomenal at stopping the run, but the moment you ask him to drop back in pass coverage, he falters. That's just not something that he does. The Steelers need to be smarter when utilizing these guys. So, you know, if they want to stick Spillane and like goal line packages or like obvious running situations, I'm perfectly okay with that.
I like Robert Spillane sticking around. I like Marcus Allen sticking around. I think he's a good special teamer. He brings a ton of energy to the team. Arthur Millett, I thought, was a stud at times last season. Dude plays like a bat out of hell, could care less about putting his body on the line every single play. Most of the time that pays for him because he's a tiny dude, but he's some reliability at the nickel and at the slot. I think if the Steelers can go out and land a guy, maybe like a Stephon Gilmore, which I don't think is possible, but you know, bigger named corner to play on the outside. Now you have options on the inside with Millett and Cam Sutton. I just think that it works out. I'd give those grades, I don't know, an even B minus, I guess. Nothing crazy. Poor man's Mike Hilton. He kind of is a poor man's Mike Hilton, but when you don't have Mike Hilton and you don't want to spend $24 million, Arthur Millett's not too terrible. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. I hope you guys enjoyed the first day and heading into the second day here of free agency as much as we did. Make sure to use our code at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. Tell a friend to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Like this video, and we'll see you tomorrow.